It is hour number two. Patton Cook, John Burton, Greg Pogue, at Patton underscore Cook, at John Burton 32, at The Poacher. Of course, you can download the WNSR app and follow us on all of our social media platforms.
Take us with you wherever you go.
At Nash Sports Radio.
We don't pimp that enough, you know?
I think we should promote it, too. But hey, 1040, Eddie George, TSU football coach. But right now, somebody who covered Eddie George when he was a Titans, John Glennon with NowSI.com, covers the Preds and the Titans and a little bit of everything. Hey, good morning, John. Thanks for joining me.
Guys, how are you? I appreciate the nice pimping job there.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do here, man. We're star makers. We're king makers, not kings.
Very nice. I appreciate that.
You look like a Burger King, you know, that guy, which is sort of weird looking.
I do not look anything like that Burger King.
Not you, John.
Yeah.
Not you, John. I don't know which John.
You got two Johns. Anyway, John, looking better on the injury front, for the Titans, getting some guys back. And I've been saying it all week, and you and I spoke about it yesterday when we did our little digital hit. They're going to need all hands on deck Monday to face a really, really good Buffalo Bills team.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt that, you know, the Bills are probably playing the best football of anybody in the National Football League right now. You know, it's so rare to see a team that is really atop the league in both offense and defense, but that's what you're seeing right now in Buffalo. So, yeah, you're clearly going to have to score some points to beat this Bills team. And, you know, along those lines, very nice to see Julio Jones back at practice yesterday. You know, we've got Marcus Johnson with another week under his belt now as well. I think still the question, obviously, is does Julio jump right back into the lineup this week, or is it still kind of a ramp-up situation? Certainly looked good yesterday, and they're gonna really need to score some points to beat this Bills team, probably 30 points, I would think, at least. So certainly he was a welcome sight for Titans fans.
You know, you look at it, it seems like they're just not all the pieces have come together. Mm-hmm. And yet they're there. And quite frankly, if that's the way it's going to be the first half of the season, the division seems very winnable, regardless of where you got to be. So, you know, and of course, you want to go out and try to get home field advantage and all those different things. But it just seems like it's just been a disjointed start to the season, from Ty Sambrello retiring, you know, and this guy not available and your second round draft pick, you know, not ready to play, obviously. And then Christian Fulton comes on, gets hurt. It just seems like there's so many things, more so, you know, it keeps you busy keeping up with everything.
But I'll add to this, just the fact that through all that, they're 3-2. I mean, that's not bad, all things considered. I know a lot of people are still lamenting that Jets loss. But all things considered, Johnny, with everything they've gone through from an injury standpoint, to be sitting here at 3-2 and in control of their division, not too shabby, no?
I would agree with you. You know, but I do think, you know, not only this Monday, but the next month in particular is certainly going to be a significant test for the Titans when you talk about the Bills, the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Colts, you know, at Indy. You know, those are four tough games, and we'll see how things stand after the next month. But, yeah, I think in particular, you know, Titans fans were so much looking forward to the offense this year, you know, with the addition of Julio Jones, you know, to a lesser extent, Josh Reynolds as well. But, you know, they were looking forward to more than just a kind of a Derrick Henry attack. You know, they wanted to see, you know, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones catching passes downfield and, you know, maybe even a higher octane offense than last year's was, too. And we just haven't seen that. You know, some of the surprises, I think, in that regard, offensive line protection, you know, and as Mike Vrabel continues to hammer away, the sacks aren't only the offensive line's fault, but certainly – you know, eyes are generally going to turn in that direction. And then, you know, 1 week we kind of have Julio back, and then, you know, another week maybe AJ's back, and Marcus Johnson misses a few weeks. So, yeah, we still haven't seen, you know, this highly anticipated Titans offense, but maybe, just maybe, we're starting to move back in that direction now.
John Glennon from SI.com is our guest. John, Vrabel didn't offer much about the Ty Sambrelo situation, him going on the reserve retired list. Any idea what was going on there? Was it simply a case he didn't want to play anymore? Or we've heard about issues maybe with the coaching staff. What do you know? What have you heard?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough situation. And honestly, I think the way that Mike Vrabel responded to the questions about Ty Sambrello yesterday.
He told us he wanted to retire, so he retired. We're moving on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that was basically what he said.
Right, basically. And you know, what impact will that have? Well, you know, none whatsoever. Okay. You know, it wasn't exactly, a hearty pat on the back and hopeful things turn
right,
out
that,
well
yeah,
for
we
him,
wish him the best. You know, he's a great player for us.
Exactly.
There was none of that, right?
So you certainly get the sense that this was, you know, that there was an issue going on there. You know, I asked Ben Jones, was one of the guys that was available to the media yesterday, and I asked Ben Jones about the situation, and he kind of, you know, he seemed to sort of indicate that, you know, that things had maybe been bothering Ty a little bit. You know, he talked about how football is draining both mentally and physically, and that, you know, kind of hopes that you know, everything gets in place for Ty. So I would guess, certainly, you know, that kind of this nagging injury situation with Ty Sambrello played a part, you know, with this foot situation that's bothered him this year. It bothered him last year as well. You know, and then there was, you know, I know we had a Bucks story yesterday talking about some kind of discontent that maybe there was some pressure for him to play and, you know, and kind of save Taylor Lewan. To me, you know, I guess the kind of question that story raised was, you know, aren't you a reserve offensive lineman? Isn't that kind of your gig,
yeah,
you know, to step into lineups, you know? And you know, I mean, if there's pressure to play, that's not a good thing. But I don't think anybody in this day and age is forcing players on the field either. So I don't know. You know, there's a lot of questions out there. I don't suppose we'll get a ton answered because, you know, my title has moved on clearly.
He clearly moved on from Ty Sambrello.
Yeah. and clearly Ty has moved on from immediate availability anyway. So
yeah.
Kind of it is what it is right now.
Hmm?
You know, Avery Williamson, we'll find out if he's got any gas left in the tank. But he, obviously when he was here, I mean, he was, you know, really a leader of this team. Really great guy. Played over in Milan, Kentucky, obviously, and everything. Where will he fit in? And what does that say about Jayon Brown?
And what does it say about Rashawn Evans and his production or lack thereof?
Right. You know, certainly good to get, you know, Avery Williamson back in town here. I mean, you know, he was kind of guy that, I think, you know, was a fan favorite, certainly a Tennessee native, you know, and put in some good, solid years, you know, led the Titans, I think, a couple of years at least in tackling. You know, he's a kind of a little bit of a throwback linebacker these days. You know, the NFL is looking so much at kind of those hybrid guys that can not only, you know, pursue the run, but are able to be good in coverage as well. You know, that's probably the coverage aspect is not Avery's strong suit. But I think, you know, what the Titans are looking for, especially after last week when we saw linebackers, you know, miss gaps correctly and miss tackles, miss angles and so forth. They're saying, hey, you know, let's at least get a guy in here, maybe on early downs, who can stuff the run, whose read and react skills are good in the run game. You know, for coverage, okay, we've got a David Long. You know, when Jayon Brown gets healthy again, you know, that's a strong suit for him. But, yeah, I tend to think that you know, it doesn't say too much very good about Rashawn Evans because, you know, that's sort of what Rashawn Evans' forte is supposed to be, is being very good against the run and, you know, getting better in pass coverage, but I just don't think we've seen too much progress in that department, you know, for Rashawn Evans. So I think it's a, you know, it's a little bit of a knock on him that the Titans feel the need to bring in Avery Williamson, who's not young, he's not you know, especially old either, but the fact that he was playing on a practice squad, you know, as opposed to being on somebody's 53-man roster, you know, probably tells you something as well.
Plus, you can only go to the Will Compton well so many times, right?
That's true. He's got other things going on. He's busy with the Buffs and with the boys. Yeah. He's got T-shirts. You know, it's, has a lot of responsibilities these days.
But, Johnny, what about, you mentioned it, Rashad Evans. You'd have told me a couple of years ago that this guy probably wasn't going to get a second contract with the Titans. I would have said you were crazy. I thought this guy was going to be a captain, a Pro Bowl player, a decade-long forever Titan. Is it a matter of just he's more of a Dean Pease type guy than he is a Mike Vrabel slash Shane Bowen guy?
I think there's probably something to that. The coaching situation. And let's remember, too, that, he's had a new inside linebackers coach in Jim Haslett the last 2 years. Of course, Jim Haslett's got a very long, coaching record and so forth. But, yeah, we just haven't seen as much progress for Rashawn Evans as expected. You know, I think the skills are still there. I think, he's got very good speed and he's a good tackler when he's in position. But, to me, there are some guys that you see on film and so forth, and you see that extra little football savvy and knows where plays are going and knows which gap to be in all the time. And I don't see that as much with Rashawn Evans maybe as some other guys. And I agree with you. I think, what was an upward track is now, flatlined, at best and maybe taking a little bit of a downturn. I mean, even the Titans certainly, despite the fact they didn't pick up his contract year last offseason, certainly, we're talking about we still want to sign him, we want to keep him for the future. And you have to wonder now if that will take place at all in the coming off season, or it will be time to if it will be time to part ways instead.
John Glennon, SI.com. Follow him on Twitter at Glennon Sports. Hockey, it's here. Go ahead, unleash.
Unleash the Kraken.
Oh boy! Well, I've got to hear
Johnny,
that.
Johnny, unleash the Kraken.
How many times do they play this year? Too many.
They play 19 times because I want to say unleash the Kraken.
I don't. Of course, the Matthias Ekholm, 4 year, $25 million seems like a pretty good deal for the Preds at that rate. And I guess now a few other things to come: Forsberg and Yossi. I really don't know what to think about this team. Will they contend for a cup? Probably not. Will they be middle in the pack? Probably. Obviously, the Duchesne Johansson dynamic, what's going to go on? It's UC. Now it's totally yours in the goal. I tell you, I can't get a really good feel for that team. That fair?
I think that's very fair. I think I like the way the Predators finished last year. It was certainly an upward surge towards the end of the season. And they played a very good Carolina team, very tough. Came within a couple of breaks of upsetting the Hurricanes in that first round series. I'm interested in kind of a number of storylines for the Predators as we go into the opener. You touched on the top line there, Johansson, Forsberg, Duchesne. It was really put together more late in the season last year and started to really come together, play well, in the playoffs as well. Can they keep that up for an entire season? UC Saros, hasn't necessarily always gotten off to the quickest starts. He's a guy that usually rounds into shape and is really good. But, there is no doubt, there's no Pecorine security net this year. UC Saros is the guy from day one, and he'll need to be going. And then there's some players, certainly like a Cody Glass. I'm very interested to see what he brings. This was a guy, former number six pick overall a few years ago in the draft. Didn't really get a ton of traction with Vegas, but he's getting a second chance, and he's still very young. So I'm curious what he'll bring. And of course, Elli Tolvanen, we've seen the goal scoring from Elli Tolvanen, certainly on the power play. Can he do that, five on five? Can he be a regular in the top six this year?
Yeah, and Greg mentioned it, Johansson and Duchesne, the pressure's on these guys, no? I mean, for the money they're making, this is a huge year for them to stay healthy and be productive all season long, right?
It really is, those contracts, at the time they were signed, I think a lot of people, probably said, hey, this is great. We've got these really talented players locked in for a long amount of time. And then, you figure, and maybe even if it's three, four, years into the contract and things aren't going so well, well, you can still trade them because they'll still have a high value. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, what we've seen at least so far is that their play has not matched the contracts that they signed to the point that their contracts are still so big that they really can't be traded away either. So, you know, it's time for these guys to pick it up. You know, I think, as I say, I liked what they did on the same line last year. And you know, obviously these guys are first-line players, you know, power play guys. They're, in a lot of respects, that line and Johansson and Duchesne are going to make or break the Predators to a very large degree, I think, this year.
And I love the adjective, not rebuilding, retooling, or the adverb.
It's tough to do, though. It's tough. Yeah. It's tough to win while you retool. It's really tough to win while you rebuild. So you're walking a fine line here.
But and you look at the top six players that, like a Tolvanen and a Tomasino, are 22 and 20 years old, respectively. Myers on the defensive side, they really like him. Igor, help me with the last name. I know he almost made the team.
Afanasyev, I believe.
Yeah, the only thing you have to do is know how to spell it.
Afanasyev, I believe it is, or something like that.
John, you need to know how to say it.
I know.
Ryder needs to know how to spell it.
Part of me hopes he doesn't have a very good productive season goal scoring.
Man.
I'm kidding.
But
I'm
Michael, is Granlund, in my mind, he's almost the glue. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it definitely is. You know, he's a guy that once John Hines came in, you know, Mikhail Granlund really seemed to kick it up a notch. I think he was a much better fit with John Hines than he was under Peter Laviolette. And we've kind of seen the guy that the Predators thought they were going to get when they traded for him from the Minnesota Wild. And you're exactly right. He is a glue guy now. He is a guy that every shift on the ice, you know what you're going to get. You know he's going to be, you know, dangerous at times offensively, but always certainly going to be defensively responsible. You know, he's going to work great work ethic out there. And he's got a couple of youngsters around him in Tolvanen and Luke Cunnan, but both of them have some real potential. And you know, to have a guy like Granlund to sort of follow that example, you know, every time they're on the ice together is going to be key. And I tell you, another young guy, you know, in addition to Tomasino that we mentioned, but you know, Tanner Janot is an interesting guy to me too. And he's going to start out, it looks like, on the fourth line. But it, you know, it wouldn't shock me if a big physical guy like him, who has shown some scoring touch, you know, get some chances, maybe whether it's the third line at some point or even, you know, higher than that. You know, I think his play will dictate that. But I think he's more than kind of a traditional fourth line, you know, heavy checking guy.
Is this more of what John Hines won? Obviously, the cards are dealt to him. But, I mean, when he came in, he obviously takes over for Laviolette, middle of the season, then a pandemic, then you're playing in a conference that you're not going to ever play in again, and now back to some normalcy. This is really the first off season all the way through training camp, now sort of regular type of deal for John Hines since he was named head coach.
Yeah, it absolutely is, you know, because last year's camp was impacted by COVID. The year before that, he takes over midseason. Everything has been off kilter, you know, and even the season itself, you know, when they came back that year and last year, everything was so compacted. You didn't really have those stretches of, like, you know, just two or three days at a time where you can say, okay, we're going to do some teaching. This is my system. This is what I want to see. This is what I want to accentuate. You just didn't have the time. And this year, yeah, this was as regular a training camp as you get in this day and age. And so I think that'll pay dividends, you know, for this Predators team, especially the youngsters that need that teaching, that need as much time in the system as they can get. I'm eager to see how that pans out.
John Glennon, SI.com, at Glennon Sports on Twitter. John, as always, appreciate you joining us, man.
Unleash the Kraken, Johnny.
Unleash the Kraken, lad.
My
see you,
God.
Man.
See you, John.
All right.
Hey, got Eddie George coming up at about 10:40 this